All right. Have you ever gone somewhere and wore the wrong thing? Okay. Most guys don't care. They're like, okay, well, whatever. You know, ladies, you probably have gone somewhere and worn the wrong thing. And probably because you really didn't, you know, you really didn't know what the situation like, is it outside or inside? Who will be there? What time of day? What's the occasion? All of that is very important for you to know what to wear. And so just like you knowing what to wear for a certain occasion or party or gathering, like I remember when, gosh, it was last summer or summer before last, I surprised Suzanne for her 30-year anniversary to a trip, and most of y'all know this, to a trip to out west. And I told her, hey, we're going to go on a trip, and I'm not going to tell you where we're going to go. She's like, what? And so, but my daughter was, I told her everything. I gave her the itinerary, and I told her, hey, just give her some ideas. Yeah, you may want to bring this and this, but yeah, sure. She didn't want to give it away. And so she didn't know we were going until we arrived at the airport, and the ticket said Denver, Colorado. And so, but she was a little bit unsure about what all that she's going to wear. So the problem is she brought everything, and her suitcase was extremely heavy. And guess who had to carry that everywhere we went? So, but just like you need to know what to wear, you also need to know what to put on for the armor of God. Today, as we are in a season of single sermons, and I'm guessing we're probably going to be here until our Christmas, which starts, our Christmas series, which starts the first Sunday in December and goes all the way through Christmas Eve. And the sermon series for that is simply called Joy. And I've been wanting to speak about joy for a long time. God's been speaking to me just in my time with him. And I'm like, okay, I need to speak about this. And so we think Christmas is a great time to talk about joy. So that begins on the first Sunday of December. And so I'm feeling like we're going to be continuing in just single standalone sermons between now and then. But today we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have your printed copy of God's Word or your digital copy on your phone or your digital tablet, And we'll also have the scripture on the screen. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 is where we're going to be. But Paul explains the reason for the armor before he describes how to use the armor. Okay? So just like when you're joining a football team, okay, or any kind of sports team, but especially football, a lot of gear. So it's important for someone to explain this gear before you put it on and try to use it. It's important to understand the why you have a helmet and why you have shoulder pads and those kinds of things. Well, this is similar to what Paul is doing in Ephesians chapter 6. So starting at verse 10, he says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Let me say, man, the day of evil come. When is that? Hey, that's like every day. That's every day. We started this 21-day prayer, and some people are doing a prayer and certain fast. We started that on October 1st. I think we have like two or three more books. Feel free to just take it, you know, and then start tomorrow, start today, and just continue. But we actually finish this as a church this coming Tuesday, and as I'm talking to people, I'm realizing that some of you are under spiritual attack. You are. You're under spiritual attack because you have chosen to do this 21 days of prayer. And even more attack if you're like, man, I'm gonna fast during you know, part of this, whatever that fast looks like. And so because of that, the enemy is after you. You have a target on your back. And so this is why that I'm preaching about this. The good thing about standalone sermons is that they're a little bit more fresh, meaning it's happening now. It's happening now. And so that's why we are talking about this. So Paul explains the reason for the armor. So we're going to do that real quick. Now, if you're taking notes, there's a few opportunities you can do that. So the first sort of reason or the use of the armor is be strong in the Lord. Your strength is not going to last the threats of the enemy. You need to be strong in the Lord. You need to be strong in the Lord. In the world, in our culture, they just say man up, right? Oh, just do it. I mean, I come from Generation X. Generation X is the first generation. We're called the latchkey kids. I literally, my kindergarten class picture has a picture with me with a string around my neck and a key. I forgot to put it in my shirt. Literally, I walked to school when I was a kindergarten, because my mom, dad, work schedule. And, I mean, that's crazy. So we're kind of a generation that's like, hey, we're gonna take care of this. We'll do it. We'll man up, right? And so, that's what this culture tries to throw at us. But Paul is saying, no, be strong in the Lord, not in yourselves. And so, put on the armor. So, like, for instance, if you had to bust through a wall, if I had to bust through a wall, I would put on some sort of helmet, okay? I'd put on some sort of helmet and just bust through it. Now, I'm not stronger physically just because I put on a helmet, but the helmet itself makes me stronger, okay? I mean, my body doesn't just beef up and everything if I put a helmet on. It's not magical. It's imperative. And so it just helps me to bust through the wall that I'm going through. So I'm stronger because of the armor. So I want to encourage you to be strong in the Lord, not just your own strength. The second thing we see in this, the reason why the armor is you got to put on the full armor, not some of it. You don't see football players out there in a field wearing a helmet, but no shoulder pads. They've got to put it all on. If not, they're not playing in the game. You've got to put all of it on. We're going to talk about each one of these in just a moment. And then the battle is spiritual, not physical. If you're focused on the physical, you're not going to make it. We are not fighting flesh and blood. Y'all, you have to understand that. We are not fighting flesh and blood. And you know, just like we're not fighting in this world, we're not fighting black and white, we're not fighting Democrats, Republicans, we're not fighting SEC versus Big Ten. Well, maybe we're fighting that. But the confusion comes when Satan uses people, and he will often use people. I mean, a lot of times, he will use people to bring a spiritual attack on you. And I would even say this, he would even use people who call themselves Christians. He does. I've experienced it. And woe is me, or shame on me, if I have ever been used by the enemy to speak something negative into a person. He can use people. And so because he uses people, it can bring a little bit of confusion. We think, well, I'm mad at that person. No. You need to be mad at the enemy for using that person. It's like Jesus telling Peter, get behind me, Satan. He looks straight at Peter. Get behind me. Peter's like, bro, I don't have the enemy. No, I'm talking to the guy behind you. I'm talking to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Sometimes we had to say that to some of our kids. Get behind me, Satan. Sorry. But we are fighting an organized spiritual force that is divided into ranks and positions. Did you catch this in the passage we just read? There are rulers, authorities, powers, and forces. That sounds to me like a rank system. That's a rank system. Rulers, authorities, powers, and forces. They have been here a lot longer than you have. And they were here in the Garden of Eden. So, we need to make sure that we are fighting spiritual warfare, not physical warfare. And then, finally, in this passage that I just read, we need to stand firm. This verse strongly implies defense over offense. Do you know we're not called to charge against Satan? We aren't. We are to endure his attacks. Now, we can rebuke him in the name of Jesus, but we are to endure his attacks until Christ wins the ultimate victory. Contrary to our natural response, our main concern is not the protection of our family, protection of our finances, protection of our physical well-being. Our main concern is the protection of our faith. To stand firm in our faith and resist the devil. Stand firm in who God is, what Jesus can do, and what Jesus did, and how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And the more that you read this book, and the more that you spend time with Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit is going to fill you up, and you're going to recognize that's a spirit, not a person. And the more that you're going to simply be able to say, I'm going to stand firm against this. Paul didn't say if the day of evil comes, but when the day of evil comes. So now that we've gone over the armor, described it, let's see what Paul tells us how to use it. In verse 14 through 17, stand firm, chapter 6. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul, it's interesting, Paul places these in order. And he's writing this to the church he planted in Ephesus, because evidently they were going through some spiritual warfare. By the way, every church does. Every church does. If a church isn't going through spiritual warfare, it means they're not on the front lines. Right? They're not praying enough. You start praying, you start doing things as a church, you start reaching the community, you start seeing people saved and baptized like we've been seeing, then you're going to be under attack. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are under attack. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stand firm. But Paul puts these in the order of which a soldier would place them on their body. I can imagine that Paul's in prison, and he's looking around and he sees soldiers, Roman soldiers, and he's like, there we go. It's a great analogy. And it's so, so true. God, the Holy Spirit gave him this. So the first thing we see is a belt of truth. Everybody say truth. Good. A soldier's belt was thick and sturdy, like a weightlifter's belt. Okay? Big belt. The rest of the armor was connected to this belt. For the Christian, truth is to be securely connected to us for our success in the Christian life. Truth, as Paul defined it, included the accurate information regarding God's word and the accurate information on what binds together everything else we believe. I mean, we've heard of fake news. Fake news, you know, there's fake truth. There's fake truth out there. And I'm not talking politically. I'm talking just in our culture. There's fake truth that goes against what this word says. So we want to know the truth. God longs for us to know the spiritual truths in his word. So the belt of truth was the first thing they would put on. Now, obviously, they would have undergarments. But the belt of truth was the first thing they would put on. Just like it's the first thing you put on, you need to walk in your day, the first thing, knowing truth. Knowing what is real. So we have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Righteousness. The breastplate is attached to the belt of truth would serve two important purposes. First of all, the breastplate would protect, okay? And it would identify. It would protect and identify. It would protect the vital organs of the heart, lungs, and stomach, the things that give you life. Righteousness, or doing what is right, is essential to protecting the life of the believer. Walking in righteousness is important in your spiritual battle. As you honor the Lord with your decisions and actions through a life of righteousness, it protects your life. But the breastplate also identifies the soldier. On the front is a symbol or an emblem identifying a soldier as part of a country or a people group. We see the same thing on football teams. Why do football teams have a certain emblem or color so they know who's on the other team? Or the quarterback knows who to throw to, unless your team throws a lot of interceptions. So the emblem or colors help us recognize one another, just like the breastplate of a soldier in battle. Our Christian behavior, which is the righteousness that we show, our Christian behavior is meant to identify us to the world. To identify us to the world that we belong to Jesus. Your life of righteous living identifies you. Y'all, that's so important. So, we have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. Third, we have the feet or shoes of the gospel. Feet or the shoes of the gospel. Different variations of scripture have that. So shoes were made for a soldier to run into battle. Can you imagine a soldier without shoes on? It's crazy. Can't do that. It's just like an athlete. You can't play a football game without cleats on. Like shoes, the gospel message of our faith gives us traction. Just like cleats give an athlete traction, the shoes of the gospel message of Jesus Christ gives us traction. The distractions of our culture are the opposite of traction. Dis, without, means without, traction. So the distractions we face in our world do not give us traction. And so the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And what is the good news? What is the gospel? Well, it's simply this. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is alive. And it's coming back for those who received him as Lord and Savior. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He's coming back. No, whether we're alive or dead, he's coming back. And right now, we have, for those who are believers, we have land in heaven. You own property in heaven. Right now. You do. And Jesus is building something for you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. It's like, man, He must be pretty busy. Well, just like creation, he speaks it and it's done. Speaks it and it's done. You have property in heaven. You have a mansion in heaven. So that gospel message of Jesus. So, you know, I've gotten a chance in my just all the years I've lived. My mom used to work at a nursing home, and I know nursing homes can not be a wonderful place to visit, but they can be a good place to visit, depending on, you know, how a person is in their life, with their mind and their health. But I have visited nursing homes where there's a lot of old people. They still have their mind, and guess what? You know what they're doing? They're reading the Bible. The Christians, not all of them, but the Christians are, they're reading the Bible. And I've often thought, man, you've had a lifetime of reading the Bible. Why are you still reading the Bible? Well, they're reading the Bible because they probably realize that they're pretty close to meeting the one who wrote the Bible. And I love that. You know, they're not scared of all this stuff in this world. Their eternal vacation starts when they die. And they're not afraid. And they go into heaven with the Bible on their heart. They're walking in peace because the good news of the gospel is everywhere they go. So if you don't go, just like if you don't go out the house with shoes on, this is like leaving the house without the gospel message to share with others. You got to put shoes on. And just like shoes is gospel, the feet of the gospel of peace. So we have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the feet or the shoes of the gospel. We have the shield of faith. One of the most important tools of a soldier was the shield. It protected the soldier from arrows. Paul talks about that. Much like a shield, our faith deflects the attacks of the enemy. So a Roman, and Paul's thinking Roman, but we do know, because of artifacts and everything, we do know that a Roman shield was about 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And they would crouch behind it, and oftentimes they would soak that shield, because it was covered with leather. They would soak that shield in water, and then they would crouch behind it, because the first part of the war, and you've seen this in movies, the enemy fires the arrows lit with flames. And so that's why they crouch behind it and protect them, and then the water that's soaked into that leather helps to distinguish the flame. We use it at the beginning of the battle. I believe that we need to use our faith more at the beginning of the day. Have you ever woke up today and the enemy starts knocking at your door, knocking on your mind, giving you doubt, worry, frustration, apathy, stress at the beginning of the day? So we need to, that's when we need to use your faith. So, well, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's hope and it's things we do not see. It's hope and it's things we do not see. That is called faith. The fiery arrows of Satan are there to remind you all the time that you are a failure and what you believe is dead, old news. Defend the lies with the shield of faith. Sure, you can't see the fiery arrows, but you hear them in your head. You see the results of them. And so we need to take up the shield of faith. And that faith is believing that Jesus Christ is with you. And he's not leaving you alone. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Everybody say salvation. So one good hit from a rock or a club or a sword can mean disaster. The helmet protected the head against such attacks. Like a helmet of a football player, if it comes off, the player has to sit out of play. It's that important. Paul associates the helmet and the armor of God with salvation. Salvation ultimately is the best protection against Satan, since nothing, even Satan, can separate us from the love of God. So that helmet on your head of salvation, of knowing I am a follower of Jesus Christ. This is one reason why it's so important. It's so important for you to share your story of who you were and now who you are in Christ. And it's also important for you to get baptized, because it reminds you in your head that you are a follower of Christ. The more you share your faith, and I believe the more you share your faith, the more it holds you accountable to the people with whom you're sharing your faith. And so the helmet of salvation, your salvation story, protects the most important part of your body, your mind. Your mind. Romans 8:37-38 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's everything. He knocks out everything. God wants you to be a conqueror. He wants you to put on the armor. Like it says back in that verse 11, put on the full armor of God. And it's his armor. We see this in Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. He is talking about Jesus Christ. Isaiah the prophet, that's Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus landed on a planet, before Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesus church. So salvation protects the most important part of your body. Without salvation, your spiritual battle will be over fast. Some of you think, well, I'm in a spiritual battle. Have you given your heart to life, and do you live for Jesus? Well, I kind of, sort of. No. Good luck. Good luck. God needs to be with you. In order for God to be with you, you have to invite him to be a part of the battle. And then last, we have the sword of the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. So we have the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, Paul says it's the Word. But really, I mean, it's a combination, sword of the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. Who wrote God's Word? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write this book. And so you have the combination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's why when you hear that, you feel like, you know, you're hearing something from the Spirit, and if that is contrary to the Word of God, guess what? That was the wrong voice. That was the wrong voice. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God cannot be separated. Now, I will tell you this. There are, because I believe that the church is continuing to grow. We're still living in the book of Acts. That's what I believe. We're still in the book of Acts. Now, I mean, the Holy Spirit and God will do things that you may not see in God's Word, but it's not contrary to God's Word. The Spirit keeps moving. The Spirit is fresh, but it cannot be contrary to what's in God's Word. If it is, it's the wrong Spirit, because, you know, there's other spirits out there, but there's only one Holy Spirit. And so as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's important that you also know the Word of God. And I could tell you this. You're not going to kill anything without God's word. You're not going to kill anything in the spirit realm without the word of God. I mean, even Satan knows the word of God. Satan tempted Jesus with the word of God. But Jesus knew the word of God even better, and he used the word of God to defend the attacks and the temptations. When Satan comes against your family, when Satan comes against our church, when Satan comes against your life, you can speak into that and say, Satan, you have no authority. You do not have any authority, because our family and our church and my life is covered with the blood of Jesus. Satan is, in all of his demons, in all of the rankings, they are extremely afraid of the blood of Jesus. They are extremely afraid of the blood of Jesus. You know, you look at all the accounts of Jesus on the cross, never once do they ever mention Satan was there. He didn't want to be there. He's afraid of that. He's afraid of that. Now, sin was there because God supernaturally put all the sin, your sin, my sin, on Jesus, and it died and it rose again. But Satan, does Satan know the word more than you do? So you need to know the word of God in order to defeat Satan. And you need to know your weapon. Military personnel, they will be trained on how to take apart their gun and put it back together blindfolded. They could take apart their armor, I mean their gun, their rifle. They could take all of that and put it back together blindfolded. Why? Because you don't always know that you're going to have light in order to repair a rifle or repair a machine gun. So in our dark world, when darkness, we just really can't see. We've got to know the word of God. We've got to hide it in our hearts. Now, you may not know where it's referenced. I mean, I would recommend you to learn scripture and to learn reference. But there are many times I'm like, okay, I know it says this in God's word. I don't know. Google, what does it say this in God's word? Yes, your pastor does that. I can't remember everything, all the references. But just like that, but I know what the word of God says. I continue to read the word of God. I'm in 2 Kings. I'll be finishing 2 Kings this week. What's in there about 2 Kings? Man, there was some great stuff in 2 Kings. Don't go to sleep on 2 Kings. Maybe, I mean, 2 Kings book, I mean, it's great. I mean, so there are some great things in all of the books. So continue to know the word of God. Satan wants to defund the bride of Christ. Just like there's people want to defund the police. Crazy. Satan wants to defund the bride of Christ by taking away her weapon. Taking away her weapon. So, we've got the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But there's kind of a missing thing as I read this. There's nothing about our back. There's nothing mentioned about what goes on the back. And I've often wondered that, because people get killed from behind, right? What about our back? Here's a reason why, I think. Because when people are fighting a battle, they're standing back to back. I got your back. Y'all, you can't fight these battles alone. If you try, you'll get hit from behind. You can't fight these battles alone. That is why it's important for you to be connected with the body of believers, a church. Because we got your back. There are people right now we're praying for in our church. We got your back. You're going through something? We got your back. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if you got an argument in your neighborhood and the HOA is after you, say, man, we got your back. No, that's not what that is about. No, we got your back spiritually. So don't fight this alone. This is not an individual sport. You cannot fight it on your own. You need to have an opportunity to link arm to arm with other believers and fight back to back. And there are people that you need to help fight with. Don't do it on your own. But there may be some here today or watching online, you're like, yeah, man, I'm fighting this and I feel like I'm all by myself. First of all, make sure you're saved. Make sure you've accepted Christ as Savior. That gospel message of the good news that he died for you, he took away your sins, he rose again. He died on the cross for your sins and you can have new life in him. That is the gospel. You need to accept it. And how you accept it is real simple. As a child, faith. Just simply say, Jesus, I invite you in. And some of you today who are believers, maybe you feel like you're fighting on your own. Hey, you need to let us know if you're fighting something. Get in a life group. That's why life groups are important. Our life group, we pray for one another. We send out prayer requests. And so, but you're also part of a church. Just because you're not in a life group doesn't mean you don't need to be fighting alone. Your church is here. But let us know. We're a great size, y'all, that we can make sure. Like, I mean, we're a great size. I know who's here and who ain't here. I know who to call after church. So if you get a phone call from the pastor. But, y'all, we're a great size that we can just check in on one another. There's no fly on the walls. Okay? It's easy to be a part of a church where you're just a fly on the wall. There's more accountability with something like this. And there's a deeper faith that you can get to. Why? Because you have other people checking on you, praying with you, making sure you're not alone. So make sure you let us know if you're fighting something by yourself, because we want to help you with that. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes? I mentioned an opportunity to accept Christ. If you're listening now or listening later, online, or if you're here in this room, you simply, if you've never accepted Christ, and if you've got just a lot of struggles because you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't understand or decipher the Word of God. And so you need to accept Christ. So you simply say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Please forgive me my sin. Please come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And if you're here today and if you are a believer and if you're fighting a battle, whatever that battle is, we sang about this earlier. Speak the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus over that situation and don't fight it alone. Let's stand arm in arm together. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this awesome description of the full armor of God. Father, as our church and some people in our church are going through spiritual warfare just for obeying you in prayer and some in fasting, Lord, I pray, Father, that you embolden them. Lord, that you remove the enemy far away from them and that they would put on the full armor. In Jesus' name, amen.